Hello, welcome back to Griffith's Small Podcast. My name is Camille and I am a Griffith University student studying a Bachelor of Arts, majoring in Journalism and Communications. Today I sit down with John Taylor over a Zoom call, so please excuse some of the bumpy audio in parts. John Taylor is a multi-platform journalist whose lengthy career has taken him all over Australia and internationally as ABC's foreign correspondent based in China. His varied experience has seen him work across radio and TV, and he currently holds the title of supervising producer on ABC's rural affairs program, Landline. John's breadth of work includes rural affairs, politics, courts, natural disasters such as the 2004 Indonesian tsunami, and key global events like the 2000 Sydney Olympics. John has over a decade of experience in prepping young, emerging journalists for the industry as one of three of ABC's cadet trainers. So this podcast focuses on his insight for emerging journalists.
Yeah, John, thank you so much for your time today. We have attempted to record this just prior to, so I appreciate you sticking around and volunteering your precious time. As the audience for this podcast will largely be university students graduating in fields of communications, it's wonderful to have your professional insight to gear students for entry into the industry. So, John, you have reported on, produced, and broadcast current affairs across many states in which the laws often vary. What strategies or tools do you employ to ensure you meet the expectations of varying law systems? Is it a matter of mindful practice and risk analysis before you make decisions on publication?
I think it's, first of all, it's understanding what the laws are that affect you as a reporter and your ability to do your job. And they differ perhaps from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. For instance, some of the reporting ability around victims of sexual assault at what, you know, and people that are charged with sexual offences, at what point in the justice system are you allowed to identify somebody, or if you're allowed to identify them at all? So ignorance is no excuse, really. You've got to know the laws in order to follow them. And you're not judged on your ability to read, you know, whether or not you knew they existed. It's inferred and implied that you know them and you just have to act legally and lawfully. So that's the start. Then the other thing is know what your own organisation's rules are. And for the ABC, that is, you know, our enforceable editorial policies upon which, you know, all reporters are held to account in their content making to these, you know, policies that have been developed by the ABC that they've had to develop as part of being a public broadcaster.
As you said, if you're not aware of the laws, it's essentially your sole responsibility to be across the laws. You know, you can't excuse yourself. You know, you do have to be across them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Most definitely. And they can differ when you go overseas too, in different countries that don't share similar rights and freedoms that we enjoy here in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. Well, I do know that, you were ABC's foreign correspondent in China for some time, and China is known to have one of the strictest media censorships in the world, including across social media. So on that note, were you exempt from much of this as an Australian journalist, as a foreign journalist, and were you able to maintain freedom of the press, or did you still have to be quite careful when covering China?
It was a mix. It would appear that the in China it's not the same as Australia, and that what is ostensibly the law does not necessarily mean that that is what is enforced. I mean that China is an authoritarian government, and it does not have what Australians would consider to be rule of law, you know, a set of principles and ideas that everybody is held accountable to. They change depending upon the needs of the ruling Communist Party. So it is different. It does seem that when I was in China, which was 2002 to 2006, that some of the laws that might have been enforced against domestic Chinese journalists were not the same as those enforced upon foreign journalists. But, you know, should we have got into trouble, I think we might, we may well have been held to, well, we would have been held to the standard of the laws and what that existed in China. Were we careful? Did we take a risk management approach to our behaviour? Absolutely, very much so, because the consequences of not doing that, taking a risk management approach, could have been extremely serious, as has been, you know, evidenced in recent years with the treatment of some Western journalists in China.
Was that a thought process that you really had to, consider before you became a foreign correspondent and went overseas? Was that something that went through your head?
Yeah, totally. And it's also too, I mean, I'm part of an organisation that has been around for a long time with a lot of broadcast experience. And so I'm not on my own discovering these things. It's in the air and it's in the culture and it's in the behaviour of, you know, my managers to be mindful of these things, and also it's often discussed as well.
Yeah, great. Thanks, John. So, John, as an experienced court reporter, you've been at the front seat of courtroom decisions over serious crimes, from murders to drug trafficking and child sex offences. There have been instances where journalists have faced serious repercussions for sub judice contempt in reporting of serious crimes. Darren Hinch, for example. How do you navigate reporting on stories of such serious nature in order to protect your career and yourself?
Yeah, good question, Camille. Very carefully is the answer.
Yeah.
So, again, you make sure that you're informed, you understand what the laws are, how the laws are being interpreted, and that you are also, you know, you've had discussions with your managers, and you're not, you know, that you are in full possession of all the facts too. I mean, court proceedings are complicated, long, the language is very... can be really complex and difficult to understand as well. So it's really important that, you know, you make sure that you are acting in accordance, that you're not breaking any laws, and that you're also, you know, providing a fair and accurate report of court proceedings, which is the basis upon which, you know, the media is allowed in to report upon proceedings in the courts. You know, we have an open justice system as well. But sometimes reporting on legal matters is really hard, but it's sometimes difficult to understand exactly what's going on in a courtroom too. It's not always just the slavish repetition of statements that have been made. It's sometimes you have to, you know, you're compressing many hours of evidence perhaps into a two-minute court report on the television news, just as one example. So, you know, it has to be a fair and accurate accounting of what occurred over the course of the day, not just, you know, you can't slant it one way or the other. It's got to be a pretty fair, well, it has to be a fair account of what went on.
Have you observed the ways court reporting has evolved?
Yeah. So one of the obvious ways is people speak really fast in court. They're not the best places to listen either. It's quite hard when you're up the back, just actually trying to capture what people are saying. So one of the big enjoyable things that's occurred over my career in Queensland is that in certain courts, like the Magistrates Court and the Supreme Court, they issued a direction, the leaders of the judiciary, both the Chief Magistrate and the Chief Justice, whereby reporters could make an audio recording of proceedings, which was awesome because it meant that you could go back and check that your quote was accurate, or you could, what actually did they say? You know, or you just can't keep up. You can go back and check. Now, that recording is not for broadcast. We are not allowed in most circumstances to broadcast the proceedings of court, but in those circumstances where we're allowed to record it, it's tremendously helpful because it's hard to take notes at the speed for the course of a day or however long the matter's going.
So on that note too, John, I know that in some jurisdictions you can now live tweet as a journalist from court. Do you think social media has propelled court reporting? Has it's been beneficial for court reporting, or has it presented new challenges for journalists?
Yeah, I don't know if it's been a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I believe as a reporter in transparency and accountability. I think that, to be honest, I think that court proceedings should be enabled to be broadcast. I think it would be a good thing if that were to occur. But social media, I don't know. But, you know, I have tweeted myself, you know, evidence being given in a court matter. It's altered the way that I report in the sense that whereas writing in a notepad, quotes, et cetera, sometimes what I've just only physically been capable of doing was using tweets in a way as a way of note taking. You know, each tweet becomes almost like a page in my notebook of evidence that was given that I could then use as, you know, for the basis of writing a more substantive report later. So no, it has altered it. Maybe it's added a bit of more pressure too, in the sense of trying to be time sensitive and really get it out faster and sooner. Yeah, I mean, still, even on social media, there's the burden of that it has to be a fair and accurate, you know, record of the court proceedings and what's occurring in the courtroom. But you can't prejudice the matters that are occurring, you know, either within the courtroom. You can't pass commentary about it. We're not like the Americans where they can do these fascinating discussions around a court case that's underway, you know, what you will. Person A, what did you think about the evidence given by that witness there? Trustworthy or not? That's not for us to do. You know, we can't do that in the legal system in Australia, do that sort of commentary about court matters.
Great. Yeah. So essentially, I guess, as you were saying, Twitter is like an open notebook or an open journal as to what's happening. So I can understand how that would be handy to come back to. Absolutely. Yeah. Is it also, I suppose, because you are trying to get material out there so quickly within the 24/7 news cycle and the hunger of the public to consume news constantly, is there, as you were saying, that issue with accuracy, if you're putting things out there or the expectation to put things out there is so constant, you still go through quite a risk analysis even in that kind of environment?
Yeah. Look, ultimately, there's no point being first if you're wrong. Mm. So you've got to resist the pressure for speed when you're uncertain. You know, you can only go as fast as you are certain. And yeah, for some people, it can be you know, quite a challenging environment. You know, because it is competitive as well. It always has been competitive in a sense. You know, like if you've got radio reporters that are filing stories that are both running at the top of the clock from rival networks, you know, you're both competing in a sense to do the most compelling story possible. The same with TV colleagues as well. But there's no point in doing it if it's wrong, you know. But I suppose that's the same with all journalism. It's about speed and accuracy, and it can never be sort of speed versus accuracy. You can only be as fast as you are right.
Yeah, absolutely. So accuracy trumps speed, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and the audience won't forgive you if you're wrong. You know, like the expectation is that the information is correct.
Absolutely. So, John, I'm speaking, still on the topic of court reporting and, what's happening in the courts at the moment. I'm sure you're across the journalist F story that has been breaking in the news recently. And I'm curious as to how you feel about the new bill for stronger shield laws in Queensland to protect journalists and their sources as an issue of confidentiality.
Yeah, like I think shield laws are important and they would be a worthy addition. I think you know, we do rely upon people coming to us to tell us information that otherwise wouldn't be made public. But there is a tension on behalf of the government leaders that not all information should be released also. It's not in the government's interests for it to be released, but as a reporter, yes, I'm a supporter of shield laws and believe that, you know, Queensland should have them, and it's a case that we're all watching what's going to happen here in Queensland. I think his name was Bud. It was Bud, certainly. I think Joe Bud, the Courier Mail reporter that did go to jail for a few days, which was pretty amazing. When I was a very young, not even a journalist at the time. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm not aware of that case, John. I'll have to look into that. Thank you for prefacing that. I guess that's one of the uncertainties of the industry. So it's important to have things like shield laws to protect people in the process of just doing their jobs.
He did spend, I think, 4 days. It was around about 1992. He was jailed.
Gosh. So, John, finally, you've been a cadet trainer for the ABC for over a decade, about a decade. So as one of three cadet trainers for the ABC, I just wanted to ask you finally, what are the most important things a cadet should be aware of when it comes to their obligations and practice?
Well, if they're a cadet at the ABC, they've really got to be aware of the legal restrictions around reporting in Australia. So that's defamation, contempt, trespass, copyright, those things. And they also really have to be aware of the ABC's editorial policies. I mean, they are publicly available. Anybody can go and look at them, and they're really good. And these are what we are held to account on. And it's sort of, in a way, codified common sense, you know. I mean, you're more than welcome to go and make every mistake yourself, but I prefer to learn from the mistakes of others and the thinking of others around things like independence, accuracy, you know, impartiality, opinion, analysis, those sorts of things. I mean, I reckon they're really important for ABC journalists to be aware of, and because we're the standard to which we are held to account. And it goes to the core of what a journalist actually is, how a journalist is different from an advocate, you know, what our role is, what's the purpose of our stories, you know, what are material facts, those sorts of things, which are really crucial to good journalism.
Absolutely, John. Yeah, that's a great set of questions to ask yourself in every journalistic endeavour, particularly as an entry-level journalist. So I'm going to note those down. Use those going into my own practice.
Yeah, and knowledge about them when the pressure's not on, because under pressure, my experience is people don't rise to the occasion under pressure. People don't really respond well often when they're surprised or under pressure. They tend to fall to their level of training and preparation. So if your training and preparation has been really poor, it's not going to go well when it really counts. So having an understanding of things like what are the laws that journos should know, what are our obligations around fair right of reply, for instance. Is it all right to give to work on a story for 10 weeks and to give somebody 2 hours notice to respond to a detailed list of questions? You know, it's just not in that instant. No way. It's just not fair. It's not right. And these editorial policies and stuff really help you think through things, and it's better if you've read them when the pressure's not on than when you're trying to go through them when you're on a deadline. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, John, thank you so much. It's been incredible, yeah, to gain a real professional insight into how it actually works within the industry and the questions, yeah, that we should be asking ourselves and reflecting on moving through it. So thank you so much for your time today.
No worries, Camille. My pleasure.